is about to become the 14th driver in NASCAR Cup history to reach 50 career victories, breaking a tie with Tony Stewart for 14th. Harvick wins NASCAR's return to action at Darlington.
Thank you, guys. Awesome job.
As you heard in from NASCAR today, Kevin Harvick winning NASCAR. We try to say getting back to normal. It's not without fans, certainly, especially after the race is over, as Kevin Harvick explained on his 50th win of his career.
I want to thank everybody from NASCAR and all the teams for letting us do what we do. This is I didn't think it was going to be that much different, and then we won the race, and it's dead silent out here. So we miss the fans. It's just, it's a pretty big honor to win 50 races in this deal, and, I just got to thank all my team guys and everybody for what they're doing.
So we got some USC fighting over the weekend that took place for the second straight weekend. NASCAR getting back into the flow. So maybe it's, obviously it's nice to have a little bit more sports coming back. But in regards to team sports, they're one of the top leagues overseas, started playing without fans. So that's a good sign for those that love their sports here in the U.S. Wade and Dusty with you. The sports ticket will jump in from a K-State perspective. Levi Stockard has found a new home. He's going to go to VCU. So Levi Stockard will more than likely have to sit out a year before finishing up at VCU. How about this? I was caught off guard. Nelson's Landing in Leonardville is closing permanently.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson's parents' place.
Saw that yesterday, and it threw me off, too.
I'm so glad I went a couple times the last couple of years because I've never been until a couple years ago. Yeah. So I'm glad I went.
Yeah, it was not an every-time stop, but quite a few times we went to Nelson's Landing on the way to games or on the way back from games, whatever it may be. So,
right.
Great spot for sure.
Just kind of time for them to move on.
Yeah.
Nelson's Landing closed permanently. What a bummer for Winterville. Major League Baseball with some details on their plans to restart, and some of these are kind of interesting. The team personnel will be banned from eating at restaurants on road trips. Showers at ballparks discouraged, and players possibly arriving in uniform like they did when they were teenagers. It would be like a high school situation. Even Philly Fanatic and Mr. Met and KC Slugger and all those mascots banned from the field along with all other team mascots. The traditional exchange up of lineup cards will be eliminated, along with high fives, fist bumps, bat boys and girls. According to a 67-page draft of Major League Baseball's proposed 2020 operations manual, a copy was sent to teams on Friday and obtained by the AP. Teams will be allowed to have 50 players each under the plan, with the number active for each game still to be negotiated. Spitting is prohibited. That's going to be tough for some players.
How they regulate that for some of the players, that will be tough.
Boy, that'll be tough. Spitting is prohibited, along with water jugs and the use of saunas, steam rooms, pools, chirotherapy chambers. Hitting in indoor cages is discouraged. Batting gloves encouraged. Batting practice pitchers are to wear masks. Dugout telephones disinfected after each use. Players may not touch their face to give signs. Oh, my goodness. And they're not allowed to lick their fingers. What happens if a player does? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. Like, how can you always have some camera on them regulating all that?
Yeah. Teams are encouraged to hold meetings outdoors. Players spread apart. So we'll see how this all works. I don't know, man. I think some of these players are going to be like, is it really worth it? I mean, is this really going to be the way? I mean, some will say yes. Others will say no. It might depend on your financial situation as a player. But to be determined. I heard a national DJ on Z96.3 Lake, a music DJ, and this is why music DJs need to stick to being music DJs, talked about, baseball is starting July 4th, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. Okay, that's the owner's proposal. The players haven't agreed to jack squat, so there's a long way to go before we can say baseball is going to start up July 4th. But this gal, who I'm sure, nice person, music DJ, wants something to talk about, saw a headline, didn't read the story, of course, like most people do in this world today, and just ran with it and then spews the misinformation out there. People that don't know a lot about baseball but like baseball, a layman fan, hear that from some radio DJ and goes, oh, baseball's starting July 4th. Tells everybody at the water cooler, did you hear baseball starting July 4th? I did not know that. Everything you know, and it spreads like the coronavirus.
Yeah, and so, it might have been the same one, but like 3 days after the NBA suspended their season, she got on there and said, like a lot of other leagues, the NBA's canceled the rest of their season.
No, they did
not.
And
I'm like, no, that didn't happen.
No, it did not. There was a golf skins match over the weekend, so golf getting back in the flow a little bit as well. It was a TaylorMade driving relief match play skins event. on Sunday, and a walk-off wedge shot netted a tidy $1.1 million. All the money went to charity. The team of Roy McIlroy and Dustin Johnson took 11 of the 18 skins from their competitors, Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. Overall, the players raised $5 million to charity, including the overtime closest to the pin situation, and that allowed Johnson and, McIlroy to take down Fowler in that situation, as McIlroy and Dustin Johnson beat Fowler and Wolff in overtime close to the pin contest. They raised $5 million for charity, which is very, very good. Any local sports, anything you want to share? I just want to make sure we didn't miss anything.
No, I think we're good right now.
All right. Let's move on to The Last Dance. It concluded last night on ESPN. Man, I tell you, you're sitting here. This is what I thought about after, episode 7 at the end of that, when Jordan basically says break and breaks down because he shows that he really truly cared about his teammates. And that, honestly, he paid a price for being the tyrant that he was in some ways. And a lot of people were talking and commenting online about how that's what they should have saved for the end of the docuseries. And I'm sitting here going, all right, these directors are pretty smart. They've got to have some ace in the hole they're going to use to close this thing. But I'm like, can it be as good as that?
Yeah.
Yes, it can. And it irritates me. That's the thing. It irritates me because of what was revealed at the end of this show yesterday. Because I was a Bulls fan and certainly a Jordan fan and always will be. And for all those LeBron fans out there, you can scream and yell and put all the numbers out there all you want. For me, the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan. Doesn't mean that's who is the greatest player of all time. I mean, you could put Wilt Chamberlain was amazing. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the all-time leading scorer and won all kinds of championships in college and pro, although college shouldn't count if you're talking about the greatest player in pros. LeBron's unbelievable. Kobe's unbelievable. Bill Russell won a ton of championships. We could go on and on. So, listen, if you're listening here and you're a LeBron fan and you're going to immediately start to plug your ears, now you're not being objective at all. That's just me. That's how it was. I grew up with Jordan. I grew up with the Bulls. Some people that are young are going to think Salvador Perez is the greatest Royal of all time. You're not even close. George Brett's by far better than Salvador Perez. Now, that one I don't think is even debatable. But when you're a young person never saw George Brett play, you have no understanding about it unless you watch docuseries or watch highlights or do some research on your own. And the same thing applies to Dusty Mee for people that came before us when we were born, like Wilt Chamberlain, like Bill Russell, like Pistol Pete Maravich, Oscar Robertson, Bob Cousy, whoever it might be, Jerry West. So... But for me, it's simple. Jordan was the greatest. I knew that. For me, I've known that for a very long time. I felt that way when I was watching him, that he was the greatest.
Yes.
And I remember watching him thinking, I better enjoy this because I don't know when it's going to end, especially when he came back the second time because he retired prematurely back in 94. So, or after the 93 season. But some things last night, they start out with the Pacers and the Bulls and Reggie versus Michael Jordan. I thought that was very interesting. Reggie and Jordan going at each other, and there was a mutual respect between the two.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Jordan always loved guys that could stand up to him and go after him. And Reggie, stood toe-to-toe with him, and that was a great series. And I remember all the games I watched of the Bulls growing up, and I was in college in Game 7, 1998, when it was the Pacers and the Bulls, and that was The Last Dance. And that was the only game I've ever watched of the Bulls. Once the Bulls started winning a championship, once the Bulls won their first one against the Lakers, because I was a little bit concerned when the Lakers took Game 1 against the Bulls. In 91. But after that, there wasn't a single playoff game that the Bulls with Michael Jordan on their team did I ever get concerned that they were going to win, that they needed to win until that game. That game with the Pacers and the Bulls in 1998, I did think it could be over. I did think this is maybe going to be it. And the Pacers jumped out a 12-point lead early, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if the Bulls are going to pull this out. But they did. And Jordan, of course, got it done. The Bulls found a way. I think it's ludicrous for Reggie Miller to say a jump ball decided the game with 6.5 minutes to go.
Kind of what I was thinking, too. I'm like,
I mean, seriously, you couldn't.
Really?
You were up three, and that tied the game. and then Jalen Rose, it was like a high school JV team going against them the rest of the way. And then so you hear that comment, you're like, if you didn't see the game, because I knew how it ended, the Bulls won by five.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the Bulls won on 18 or two runs.
Like the Bulls won, they went on a, you just said, 18-0 and just like beat them by double digits. And that did not happen.
So we tend to exaggerate things just a hair. But what stood out to me about the Pacer-Bull thing was Larry Bird's face after Miller hit the shot. I remember that then.
Yeah.
Because he knew Jordan would have a chance and nearly did win the game right after that in one of the games of the series. And then that was game four. Yeah, right. Tied it at two. And then Bird and Michael Jordan's interaction behind the scenes, which some of the behind the scenes stuff was awesome during the series. But Jordan's still talking smack, even to Larry Bird, who's one of the greatest players of all time, by the way, too. And Larry Bird had a heck of a run. He's about the only superstar that's ever been a great coach, in my opinion, when it comes to the NBA, anyway. And he had a great team. And Reggie Miller says, I think our team was still the better team that year. I tend to agree. I thought they were, too. That's why I was worried about Game 7. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that was interesting, MJ and Bird, the respect for each other. You know, then you saw Jordan in one situation coming out of the press conference and then behind the curtains, and then he's, you know, giving fives to Malone, handshakes to Malone and Stockton. There was so much respect between those three that are, of course, all Hall of Famers, and that was the last two championships the Bulls won over the Jazz. If there's no MJ, the Jazz have probably two NBA titles, and Karl Malone and John Stockton are thought much highly of. Barkley wins a title. Ewing might have won a title. Jordan knocked him out four times. What was it? There's 20 60-win teams the Bulls beat in the postseason. 20. I've heard some people supporting LeBron, well, he had to go up against a dynasty. Well, the Bulls didn't exactly go up against chopped liver. So, you know.
And my argument always was that it's not about who you played in the finals only.
No.
It's about who you played all the way through.
Yeah, and the East was so much tougher then than it was ever for LeBron, as we know. Now, obviously, the West, you know, Golden State was a dynasty. I mean, three titles in five years, and that's something Bulls didn't face because, well, they were the dynasty.
Yeah, that's who they were.
How could they? How could you have dynasty versus dynasty? Really, you can't.
You won six out of eight. There's not going to be another dynasty in there.
No, there isn't. So that was it. Was interesting, the Pacer-Bulls series. I remember that one pretty vividly. You know, the story about Steve Kerr and his dad, I knew about, you know, I saw Riley, and see, Riley's a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this is where Riley was completely clueless as to what happened to Steve Kerr's dad. I wasn't. I know you weren't.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I remembered everything about it, but I knew the story.
I knew he died in Beirut, and I knew he had been a professor over there. I didn't know some of the details, though.
Yeah.
That's what was interesting last night, and that Kerr and Jordan could have easily talked about that, would have made them tighter, but they never did. It was just too painful. And that was really powerful stuff last night. Steve Kerr's story, I thought, was, you know, there's a guy that's an overachiever, no doubt, and then became a trusted part of the team. And I think John Paxson taking him under his wing was fantastic because Kerr was the next John Paxson. I mean, Paxson won the title in 93 with the key shot on the pass. And then, of course, Kerr hit the shot on the pass from Jordan to get it done in 1997. So I thought that was interesting. You know, the flu game, I read about this before it aired last night, but the flu game is not really a flu game. Mm-hmm. It was a food poisoning game, bad pizza, which is interesting. Five guys delivered a pizza to the hotel room. I saw Marcus Spears, who is a commentator on ESPN, his big, huge lineman, defensive lineman in his day. He said, man, five guys show up in my hotel room with a pizza. I'm not eating it. And I saw Ryan Clark go, dude, you're a lineman. You would have ate it. You know you would have ate it. And I probably would have, too, to be honest with you, if I was hungry. And Jordan had the food poisoning. And, I mean, that's – some people believe that it was on purpose, that, you know, they knew who it was for. And that's why these players had aliases and so forth and so on. And there is something that's come out of all these different aliases the Bulls used. Like, one of the aliases that Jordan used was Oscar Miles.
Yeah.
Oscar Miles. And Pippen used Johnny Walker, supposedly because he liked Johnny Walker whiskey.
Yeah.
There's different, a whole bunch of aliases. And then a few of the players just used their regular name. Yeah. Like Bill Winnington was Bill Winnington. I should
Joe Klein didn't need an alias.
No, Steve Kerr did. He used one. I forgot what his was. But there were some interesting ones, no doubt. So the food poisoning game, of course, what he did in Game 5 was just insane. I mean, that guy, how he could do that, there's not too many players that could do what Michael Jordan did. And that was a pivotal game. I mean, that was Game 5. And the Bulls then were able to wrap it up in Game 6 with Kerr with the shot. But, that series was 2-2. Mm-hmm. And his mom said, I didn't think he should even play. Well, if he doesn't play in Game 5, they probably don't win. Then the Bulls got to win 6 and 7. And go to a Game 7 NBA Finals, which they never did.
Yeah.
Never did in the NBA Finals. Six titles. They never swept, but they never played a Game 7 NBA Finals. And only two times they played a Game 7 once the Bulls started winning championships, as Jordan pointed out in that docuseries last night. The other interesting thing, and I had forgotten about this part, was Rodman leaving after Game 3 of the 98 NBA Finals when the Bulls, I remember the Jazz only scored 54. That was just a horrendous offensive performance by the Jazz. And that's two Hall of Famers on that team. It just goes to show you at any level you can have a bad night. That's amazing. 54 points with those two stars. But it was just a bad night. And the Bulls won by 42. And Dennis Rodman took off and went to a WCW Nitro gig with Hulk Hogan, which was on television. So he missed practice. Came back, played great. and the Bulls won game four in Chicago. And during the broadcast, I remember that quote. Maddie, I think it was Maddie Gukas or whoever it was. Who needs practice? Who needs practice?
Yeah.
And Jordan, obviously, you know. Carmen Electra's line was kind of funny. Dennis took a detour from the Bulls.
A detour. After game three of the NBA Finals.
Here comes Rodman going to a WCW event with Hulk Hogan, taking a chair across somebody's back with Dallas Page. I mean, are you kidding me? And then he comes back and plays great against Karl Malone, of all people, you know?
Yeah.
Who's a Hall of Famer. The other thing that stood out to me was Karl Malone. What a class act. Going on the bus, you know, that's sportsmanship. That's called mad respect. So I thought that was pretty cool. I am a gigantic Pearl Jam fan. I've seen Pearl Jam in concert once. I would love to go again. Of course, Eddie Vedder, Chicago guy, lead singer Pearl Jam. And the song they use at the end of this thing was absolutely the perfect song. Present Tense by Pearl Jam made my skin like crawl in a good way. It gave me goosebumps. It was unbelievably awesome. The music they put at the end. The music, the whole thing was good. Not that I pay a lot of attention to it, but Pearl Jam one stood out to me right at the end. That was awesome. But the way they ended this thing last night has me a little bit frustrated. Not the way they ended it.
No, yeah.
But because, and Dusty and I have talked about this when we keep recapping the Last Dance every Monday after the show on Sunday night for the last 5 weeks. And you know, we've talked about how Jordan wasn't, you know, perfect, and Jordan could grade on his teammates. We talk about Pippen was, you know, quit on his team, which was a horrible moment for him, and then really, you know, played gutted through a horrible back injury during Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I mean, without Pippen's contributions, they might not win Game 6, and Jordan had to go off and go nuts with the 45 points in the game winner. But we talked about how Jerry Krause is just, we mentioned it multiple times, Dusty and I have on the show. Why is Jerry Reinsdorf getting a free pass, the owner, when Jerry Krause seems to be the villain, but Jerry Krause wasn't completely in charge? I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf in this docuseries said when he went to Phil to get him to come back for that 98 season, he overrode Jerry Krause and went to Phil and said, hey, met him in Montana, and they got to do it, and went over Jerry Krause, because the owner's always over the GM, but he undermined him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, I want Phil. I want one more run at it. So then they win it. And I've been saying all along, Reinsdorf doesn't catch enough heat, because Krause is going to catch heat, and he can't defend himself. He's dead.
Yeah.
That's not kind of fair, to be quite honest with you. And I'm not a big Jerry Krause apologist, but come on, man. I mean, if that was my dad, and he did all that work for the Bulls, I mean, he brought in Scottie Pippen. He traded. He had the guts to, you know, he was hesitant, but he went with Dennis Rodman. I mean, without Rodman, they don't win the three titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't develop Horace Grant, they don't, and that was a draft pick. You know, they still drafted Michael Jordan, for crying out loud, okay? Now, that wasn't Krause.
Wasn't,
I know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to think about the guys he traded, Oakley for Cartwright. Yeah. That was key in the first three championships. To get Pippen was the best of all. And the things that he did, he brought in a Steve Kerr. He had a John Paxson on the team. He had different guys.
I mean, they hated Tony Kukoc,
right,
but let's not act like he wasn't a big part of that second three-peat.
And there are a lot of teams that are behind the curve when it came to overseas recruiting, in essence, knowing the players over there. And Tony Kukoc was unbelievable. They had to have him to win titles when Jordan came back. You're absolutely right. And so, and yet, you know, Jordan Pippen wanted to, you know, tear Tony Kukoc apart in the Olympics, but that's because their hatred for Krause. It wasn't towards Kukoc.
Exactly.
Poor Kukoc. But Kukoc made it through it, and Krause was right about Kukoc. He was right about Kukoc. He was right about Pippen. And so Krause gets too much heat for how badly he handled things that final year, and there's no doubt. One of the biggest comments he should have never said was, Phil can go 82-0. That was a horrible comment to make. And when that comment was thrown out there, that was it. I mean, there was no bringing anybody back in 99. There was just no way. I mean, you've gone too far. And Phil Jackson, you know, if you watched this last night, Phil Jackson was of saying, you know, it was time to go. It was time. I needed a break. And he took a break. Phil took 1 year break and then found a pretty good gig with the Lakers and then won three straight titles right after that. So, but the biggest thing that's interesting, I always thought all along that Jordan, obviously if Phil not coming back, Jordan's not coming back. But I also thought there was a chance that even if Phil came back, that Jordan might not come back. But the word was he was burned out at that time in 98, much like 93. And so I wasn't sold that Jordan was going to come back for another year. In fact, I thought it probably worked out for Jordan that he was, you know, okay, I'll go to retirement a second time. But the comments that were made last night at the end of this thing, wow, I did not know this. And this was, I don't know how they kept this so secret. But here's what Jerry Reinsdorf said. After the sixth championship, things are beyond our control. Reinsdorf said. He said he went to Phil Jackson, offered him opportunity to come back the following season. At that point, and this is Reinsdorf's words, at that point, it would have been suicidal. At that point in their careers, to bring back Pippen, Steve Kerr, Ron Harper, their market value individually was going to be high. They weren't going to be worth the money they were going to get in the market. Jordan, of course, didn't agree. He says, if you ask all the guys who won in 98, Steve Kerr, Judd Bushler, blah, 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 we give you a one-year contract to try for a seventh NBA title. You think they would have signed them? Yes, they would have signed them, Jordan said. I would have signed for 1 year. Yes, I would have signed for 1 year. I'd been signing one-year contracts up to that. Would Phil have done it? Yes. Now, Pip, you would have had to do him some convincing. But if Phil was going to be there and Dennis Rodman was going to be there and if MJ was going to be there to win our seventh, Pip's not going to miss out on that. Jordan was then asked if he feels a certain satisfaction that he was at least able to go out on top or if it was maddening that he wasn't able to defend his title and in some sense his legacy one more time. And Jordan said, and I quote, and here's the quote that stands with you. It's maddening because I felt like we could have won seven. I really believe that. We may not have. But man, just not to be able to try, that's something that, you know, I just can't accept. For whatever reason, I just can't accept it. So you look at this and you break it down a little bit. I've said all along the Bulls would have won one more title at best. One more title at best. Magic Johnson said four, five, six titles. That's, you're not even taking the time to look at the situation. Jordan was 35 at that time. Pippen's body was obviously having some issues. Mm-hmm. And Pippen was never the same player after that year either, by the way. He was traded to the Rockets. And then he had a good year for Portland when they went to the Western Conference Finals and should have beat the Lakers and been in NBA Finals. And that would have helped Pippen's legacy. But then Shaq and Kobe overcame a 15-point deficit in the fourth quarter in L.A. Yeah. to beat Pippen and the Blazers. That was a golden opportunity for the Blazers, and they let it slip through. But, you know, Pippen still had a few good years left in the tank. But I'm not convinced Pippen would have been back. I'm not convinced of it. But maybe he would have been. Jordan probably could have convinced him to come back. It's possible. And so Krause gets blamed for blowing this thing up. But it's Reinsdorf that blew it up. At the end, Reinsdorf could have, if he could overrule Jerry Krause and go get Phil one more year in 98, why couldn't he overrule Krause and go to Jordan and go to Pippen and go to all those guys and say, let's go one more time. I'm willing to spend the money. He had plenty of money.
Yeah.
You know, he could have easily done it. This is the thing that irritates me about the fact they even thought about breaking up the 98 team before it even happened. But to me, that team deserved, just like they said after the fifth championship, we deserve to go one more year. They deserved to go until they got knocked off their perch. Yeah. That's how I feel. And I feel it would have happened, possibly. But here's a question for you. Had they come back for one more year, let's say Jordan, Pippen, Kerr, and all the key components come back. Rodman comes back, and Phil comes back. And the Bulls come back. And remember, there was the lock shortened the lockout.
Yeah.
So that actually would have helped the Bulls because they would have had everybody back, and they knew each other. Less games, less wear and tear on the body. They played, 50 games that year?
50, yeah.
You know, that would be like the Chiefs right now seem to have a big advantage with everybody coming back with, you know, the lack of things during the offseason because of COVID-19. I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, my goodness gracious. I think the Bulls would have won the seventh title. I really do because of what we know was a shorter season. But we don't know if Jordan wouldn't have got hurt. We don't know if Pippen would have broke down. We don't know if Rodman would have been a complete, like, okay, we won three in a row. What the heck? I'm going to go to WCW every other night.
Mm.
We don't know if it would have worked another year. I think it would have. And you look at the landscape of the NBA in 99. I mean, the Spurs weren't, I mean, I know you're a Spurs fan, but the Bulls, I think, would have won that championship.
I think they would.
The Spurs weren't.
With the team they had.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think
the Spurs were good, but they weren't great. That was not a great NBA final. It was really a dud, honestly.
Yeah.
The Knicks were not that great. The Bulls had the Knicks number. So the Bulls, I think, would have won that seventh title had they kept the band together. But here's my question. So, and I think maybe this is what Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf may have been thinking is, if we bring them back another year, they're going to win it again. We're going to go through this whole charade another year from now. And, you know, then they're going to just get embarrassed and get beat. Maybe was what they're thinking. Because this team was old. Harper was old. Pippen was getting up there. Jordan was 35. So let's say the Bulls come back and bring everybody back and Phil comes back and they win a seventh title in 9 years. And they win in 99. Do you bring the band? You have the same question. Do you bring everybody back for an eighth title? Do everybody bring everybody back for a fifth-peat? Because that was a four-peat. That would be three-peat, and then they win four in a row. which would have been something different. I think that's why Jordan wanted to go for seven, to be honest with you, to get a fourth in a row. But because of Jordan is why they didn't win a fourth in a row the first time. That should be pointed out. Jordan walked away from the game. The Bulls had a chance to win four in a row, and Jordan walked away from the game because of many reasons. But he's the one that stopped them from winning the four-peat the first time. The second time, it was Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf, and I said both. Reinsdorf was the owner. He could have done whatever he wanted and brought everybody back. He chose not to. But would he have had to do the same thing if the Bulls won the title in 99, which I think you and I agree they would have had they stayed healthy? Because guess who was coming? In 2000, it was the Lakers. It was Kobe, and it was Shaq. But here's the thing. Phil, if Phil came back in 99 and the Bulls won seven in a row, was Phil and the Bulls going to make it come back again to try to win eight, not seven in a row, but seven and nine, and try to win an eighth title and a five-peat? And that means that Phil, if so, would not have gone to the Lakers.
Not the Lakers coach.
So then who would have been the coach of the Lakers, and would the Lakers have won any of those titles without Phil Jackson, at least the first run? I mean, Phil might have gone to the Lakers later on in 2004. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And won a few titles. See, that's what we'll never know.
Yeah.
But in fairness to Reinsdorf and Krause, I mean, every year Jordan played during that run, where a full season. From 91 to 98, every full year Michael Jordan played, the Bulls won the championship.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there going, well, yeah, we went at 99. We're going to the same situation. We're going to we're getting really, really old. At some point, we're either going to fall off the map. And so maybe they were, in a way, protecting these guys a little bit to preserve their legacy. It sounds weird to say, and I'm not saying I truly believe that. I'm just flipping I'm giving you the opposite argument. Nobody's bringing that up. Maybe Reinsdorf and Krause are like, man, we're playing with fire here. And think about this. In 98, they needed seven to beat the Pacers, and they needed six to beat the Jazz, and if Jordan doesn't do what he did in the final 40 seconds with the layup and the steal and then the bucket to win it, that's going to game seven in Utah.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Bulls would have found a way. I do. I truly do. But we don't know. That's how tough it had become for the Bulls because they were getting older, and you kept hearing Jordan talking about how we were exhausted and worn out. That wasn't going to get any better the next year, except the fact they had played 50 games. That might have saved their bacon. I if it was a full season 99, I'm not convinced they would have won another title. But that's it. They would have only won one more, I think. And I think at best they would have won one more.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Jerry Krause would have been able to work some magic and bring in some really young talent that could go with Jordan. Because odds are these other guys were going to break down. Harper wouldn't have been there 2 years after that.
No.
Rodman, I don't think, would have been down there 2 years after that. So, but it is maddening to me as well, is that this is my team. It was your team. It was my player, Michael Jordan, that they didn't give them the chance to lose the throne. It was basically like, that's it. You've had two three-peats. You're done. We're going to rebuild. And they haven't even got – they've had one time they went to the conference finals since then. And Derrick Rose, in fairness, doesn't get knee injuries left and right. Who knows what the Bulls could have been. And they're still rebuilding to this day, 22 years later. But it is maddening that they weren't given a chance to win their seventh. But let's be honest, the Bulls almost didn't have a chance to have their sixth. Should they be thankful they had a chance to get their sixth? Because they almost didn't.
Yeah.
And then getting greedy to get a seventh? Yeah, I'm a fan. I was greedy. I'm greedy today. I wish they would have had another year. But maybe, what if the seventh time they try to go for it in 99? They bring everybody back, and the Bulls lose in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Or Jordan gets hurt or something crazy like that. Doesn't that change the legacy a little bit? A little bit?
It might a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think...
Jordan with the Bulls didn't go out on top, whereas in 98 he did.
Yeah, I mean, in this scenario that we had, the actual scenario that played out, there's no doubt. He's out on top. They won the championship.
And people forget about his time with the Wizards.
Yeah, two three-peats, and you know, that's how that ended for his legacy. Yeah, I mean, the Wizards thing was just, hey, and let's not mistake it. He did some pretty good things with the Wizards, even at the age he was. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't obviously the same Michael Jordan, but, you know, he made some plays, I think that point was where the legacy stopped, because that was the team that he had. That was the Wizards weren't anywhere near what the Bulls were as far as a team. So nobody put that on him.
Right.
As far as, I mean, they put it on him. They wanted him to make the playoffs, whatever. They didn't put the burden on him to go out and win a championship with the Wizards. I mean, never on him.
No.
So now I don't think his legacy changed there. But it might have, if they come back, maybe get beaten, like you said, in the Eastern Conference semis or finals or something like that before they even make it to the finals. You know, that might have changed it a little bit. But, yeah, there's no doubt you went out on top here.
You want to keep going until somebody actually stopped you.
And
who stopped the Bulls? It was Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
Ultimately, not Jerry Krause.
Well, and that's what, you know, back combined. In 98, 99, the Jerry Reinsdorf wasn't getting off as easy as he is
now. No, he
right
wasn't.
Now. Not at all.
And I read that Jordan didn't like Krause at all. And Jordan had a lot of control over this docuseries, by the
way.
Yeah. He had to approve it to even be on air. And Jordan had a lot more respect for Reinsdorf. And so that's the theory, is that why Reinsdorf didn't catch much heat in this whole thing is because Jordan liked Reinsdorf, but he respected him, but he didn't Krause.
Yeah.
And that's why Krause got in such a bad situation. And then Reinsdorf, at the very end, is when he looks really bad. And I've known all along, Reinsdorf, I didn't understand why he was getting a free pass. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Well, finally, at the end, his free pass was taken away.
Yeah. And, yeah.
He had the ultimate power, not Jerry Krause.
Absolutely. And you know, and as far as the revelation of I wanted to win seven, I think it's easy for Jordan to say that because he knew that it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
He knew that there's no way it was, and Phil was going to leave.
Yeah.
Even if I really feel like just the way the relationship was, even if Jerry Krause wouldn't have said,
I think it was
82-0, he's done. I think Phil's leaving no matter what.
Well,
I think it's over for Phil.
And let's be honest. Technically, Phil's the one that was the first one to go. He
exactly,
made the decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reinsdorf went out to him and said, hey, man, you know, and Phil, he's on camera saying it was time to go. He needed a break.
And you don't need
everybody talk about Jordan needing a break. Phil needed a break.
Yeah.
And by the way, Phil coached there 9 straight years. And 90, they're in the Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals, and there's a Pippen migraine. And then 94, he won 55 games without Jordan. And then 95, Jordan came back. I mean, Phil Jackson was an amazing coach those 9 years. But, you know, a coach at any place for 9 years, eventually you run out of motivational tactics and this and that. And how they ended it with the, you know, reading something at the end and burning it in the can. That was just so Phil-like.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, Phil was, it doesn't sound like Phil was coming back. I mean, here's the other thing. They wouldn't have all that motivation, the last dance, to stick it to Jerry Krause if Krause didn't do what he did.
You don't get this folder at the beginning of the year that says the last dance on it.
And I'm not, exactly. You wouldn't have had the docuseries called The Last Dance.
Yeah.
Or maybe it would have been Last Dance in 99 instead of 98. You would never had that. Maybe Jerry Krause was a genius. Maybe that was a way of motivating that team for the final year. You know, honestly, Jerry Krause might be brilliant. He might, you know, if we actually could go back and replay it, 99, everybody breaks down and gets hurt and the Bulls fall apart. And everybody look back and go, why did they keep it together?
Yeah.
Obviously, they were too old. I mean, Jerry Krause might have been the brilliant guy that we're not giving him credit for, that he just kind of knew that it was time to rebuild it and tear it down, and he was reluctant to even go one more year, and hey, they tested fate a little bit, and they almost lost, you know, there in the final two series, and by golly, we maintain our legacy. Whew! We dodged a bullet there. Now we officially can call it over. But that's what that extra motivation was. You'd say, well, why didn't have an extra motivation? They won 2 straight titles, 5 and 7 years. When you win 5 and 7, what's 6 and 8? But then all of a sudden when Phil says, hey, guys, this is it. They're telling me I'm not coming back. But at least for me, it's it. Well, I'm not complaining without Phil. Well, this is the last dance.
Yeah.
That was the motivation all year long. So it's an amazing series, and the way it ended last night was a revelation to me. I fully don't buy that Jordan was automatically coming back to win a 7th title in 9 years.
No.
I'm not totally buying that. I think it's convenient for Jordan to say it now. It builds to his thing. I do think he would have come back had he been coaxed to come back. But I don't think he was automatically going to be the ringleader and saying, come back for this. Because where he was physically, emotionally at that time was very comparable to 93. And then he was 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not saying Jordan's a liar or anything like that. I think
you've had 22 years to look back
right,
at it.
Well,
right. Whenever they recorded that 20, you know, in 21, whenever they filmed all of his part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you've had time to look back at it and realize, hey, if this would have happened here, this would have happened here. But at the time, it was like,
but here's my question. I pose this question to Dusty off air for everybody listening. Jordan had all this power in the world, didn't he? Right? The media loved him for the most part. The Chicago loved him. They wanted him back chanting one more year at the parade. Jordan could have put all the pressure on the Bulls if he just said, at that parade, he could have turned and looked and said, let's do it. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
If Jordan would have just said at that parade in front of thousands of people, or just come out in the media the day after they won the title and said, I'm in for next, if Phil's back, I'm all in next year. Bring everybody back. Let's bring everybody back next year. Do you not think that'd put a ton of pressure on Jerry Reinsdorf to make it happen?
Yeah.
So I mean, it sounds weird because the player shouldn't have to do that. But I think Jordan wasn't stupid. I mean, he had all the power in the world with that organization. For crying out loud, he had piano in his hotel room. I mean, the guy, he could have put pressure on the Bulls to go one more year. And you know why he didn't, in my opinion? Because I don't think he was fully bought in to go another year.
No. not with everything going on, it wasn't right. That wasn't his motivation anymore.
So I'm a little bit leery of his comment. Yeah, I'd come back for another year. It's easy to say when you're rested up years later in the interview. I think he was conflicted at the time, and I think that's why he just kind of let it play out the way it did. Like, hey, if we bring it back, great. But if we don't, I can say it was out of my hands. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Jordan, by the way, he was 34 at the end of that season. He turned 35 right after that.
Yeah.
And then Jordan sat out 3 years and then came out of retirement a second time, played with the Wizards in at the age of 38 and 39. And in those 2 years, Jordan scored 23 a game at the age of 38, 20 a game at the age of 39. Jordan, his last 3 years with the Bulls, played all 82 games all 3 years, plus all the playoff games. And, you know, that's one thing you can say about Jordan. He didn't have load management. He didn't take a night off. And
it
he could
exist.
And that's one thing you can, if you want to compare between all the other, some of the other current greats. You know, I know the game's a little bit different. And sometimes coaches dictate it. You think any coach is going to dictate to Michael Jordan he's sitting out for load management? That was never going to happen.
No.
Whereas other players obviously allow it to happen. Lots of superstars do. So that's one major difference between the players today and the players then, no doubt. All right. Anything else to add about that?
No.
What do you think? A-plus on that series?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
every 30 for 30 from now on is going to be judged against
right.
it.
Right. And but like, don't you think it's even better because of our situation where we don't have stuff?
Yes.
That makes
yes.
it better. It was to me, it was going to be an automatic home run because it was something to watch. But it was good. It was well done. The way they ended the last night was fantastic. I didn't think they could. I didn't know if they could do it, but they did. Fantastic. All right, Darren Grauerholtz is going to join us here in a moment. It is rally week, and Thunder Ridge girls coach Darren Grauerholtz will join us. Thunder Ridge with the comeback win in the 2017 NPL tournament title against St. John's Tipton. Tomorrow, it'll be a rally boys state basketball. Beloit in 2014, and their 17-point deficit, they turned around and came back and won against Wellsville back in 2014. Ryan Eiler join us. We'll replay the fourth quarter, or the second half, actually, of that one coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. So enjoy.
And welcome back here on Comeback and Rally Week on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket. Today's feature game, the 2017 Girls Championship of the Northern Plains League Tournament between Thunder Ridge and St. John's Tipton. And momentarily, we're going to be joined by Darren Grauerholtz, the head coach of the Liddy Longhorns. They were down by 11 points going into the fourth quarter in this one, and then had a 12-0 run at one point that was capped off by Cassie Breton and a layup to put them up.
1-1 opportunity for Lake and Pettijohn to tie and possibly give Thunder Ridge the lead. Free throw on the way, and it spins out. Breton the rebound. Put back good for Thunder Ridge. Cassie Breton gives Thunder Ridge the advantage off the miss. Free throw from Lake and Pettijohn. 34-33, Liddy Longhorn. It's a 12-0 run. It seems John Tipton led at one point, 33-22.
And again, we are joined now by Darren Grauerholtz, the head coach of the Thunder Ridge Liddy Longhorns, still and at the time back in 2017 when you won the NPL Tournament Championship. At the time, Coach, that was your fourth straight NPL Tournament Championship. But this game was kind of interesting in the fact that Brenna Eilert went down early in the game with an injury and really only played just a small portion of the first quarter. But Elizabeth Walter really stepped up for St. John's Tipton, and you guys had an 11-point hole, as I said, to start the fourth quarter. What was going through your mind during that game and trying to keep a streak alive and championship wins there?
Well, you know, the events that popped out in my head were the fact that when Brenna went down, that's when I knew we had a chance of winning the game. I knew that Elizabeth would be able to be a force, but I didn't know that she was going to be that dominating, and we didn't run any junk to do anything different. But at halftime, as we're walking in, Coach Cuisine walks up to me and he goes, "Brennan's done." And I'm like, oh, shoot. I hated it just for the fact of who she is and what she stood for and what she meant to the game of basketball and what the game of basketball meant to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hate to see those athletes go down, or any athlete, you know, as far as that goes, but especially somebody like her and her caliber. But when he told me that, I thought, okay, there's a chance that we can go ahead and do this. Well, they come out in the second half and they just slow it down. And I'm like, man, we can't play like that because they had too good a lead there. And then we started chipping away, like you said. And, you know, it was just kind of a seesaw, and we were just trying to figure out who was going to be our scorers for that game. And I think one of the big things was a big moment for me to realize that Brennan Kirchhoff was going to be an impact player for us, and she has been for the last 4 years. So she really made some key plays. But one of the plays that I do remember, she was getting pretty hot, and she comes down, and there was no need. I think we were ahead at the time, and she throws up a three and misses. And I'm like, oh, geez, what are you doing? But it's just these little events that take place in games like this, big games like this, and they can just flip the tide so quick one way or the other. And, you know, you really don't realize which way it's going to go until the end of the game.
So, you came back from the 11-point deficit. You actually had to come back twice. One was a very small comeback because Liz hit a three there to put St. John's Tipton up by one late, but you were able to get a layup from Hardacre, and then Walter made a free throw to put it into overtime. They took a four-point lead early in overtime, but, again, Brennan stepped in and made some big shots for you there in the overtime frame, and you got the job done in the end there with the late shot by Cassie Breton, really, that won it for you right before the buzzer. Take me through that overtime period, what you remember about it and being able to cap that one off, and probably this was, I'm guessing, the toughest out of your seven straight now that you've won in the NPL tournament championship games, right?
Oh yeah, by far. And I think one of the biggest things is that when we went up there right towards the end of the game, I think one of the biggest moments was the fact that I was surprised that Krazine didn't call a timeout, because I thought he had one yet, and when we scored, there was, it seemed like to me, maybe 3 or 4 seconds
yeah,
yet.
Yep, there was.
And I felt like he had a chance maybe to call that timeout right after we made that bucket and maybe even get something set up. But I was surprised. I was surprised at that moment. And I'm just kind of wondering what he's thinking in that moment, what he would have done had he given that chance over again. Because, you know, you, as a coach, you always go back in them games, especially the ones you lose, and you go like, where did I go wrong? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that might have been one of those moments where he might have thought he had a chance that maybe he should have called that timeout to do something there. But, I mean, like I said, you know, the biggest factor in that game, we don't win that game if Eiler doesn't get hurt, mm-hmm. period. And she's just such a dominating force. But those games like that are the ones that it doesn't matter how old you get, you don't forget. And that was a real fun game to coach. Great kids on both sides of the ball. Elizabeth just did a super job. I was excited to be able to coach her in an all-star game then that year, too. You know, it was a lot of fun. What a great kid, you know, and really appreciate moments like that.
Darren Groundholz, coach of the Thunder Ridge Lady Longhorns, here on Comeback Rally Week. This was the middle of your seven-year run of tournament championships. Coach, thanks for taking the time to be with us, and hope you enjoy this replay.
You bet.
And now we're going to take you back to January 21st, 2017, at Lincoln High School for the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship on the girls' side. We'll play the very end of the third quarter, all of the fourth quarter, and overtime from that game between the Thunder Ridge and St. John's Tipton girls. Enjoy this replay on Comeback Rally Week.
Free throw line to Risky, back to Lakin on the right side. Puts up a long two. It's front rim no good. Rebound pulled down by Walter with 11 seconds to play. Walter pushing the floor. Drives in all the way to the hoop. Playoff good with the left hand for Liz. 2 seconds to play. It's a 6-point lead at the end of the third quarter for St. John's Tipton. Elizabeth Walter stepping up big in that third quarter. The Lady James are up 6 in the championship. We're back on Kitty Country 94 with the fourth quarter. Into the fourth quarter, the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays are up 6, 28-22. Kara Eiler and L. Eiler to check back in for the Lady Jays. Inbound play for Logan Eiler to Avery Gates. So we have the original starters on the floor except for Brent Eiler, who again is out with the injury, and L is in her place. Walter has it back over to Gates. Gates dribbling over to the left side. Stopped by Breton over there, but crosses over and gets by Breton on the left wing. Reset the offense back to Walter. Right side, Logan Eiler. Logan, hesitation, left side to Gates. Gates holding on the wing. Dribbles and gets by Ritzky. Foul called on Kennedy. Avery will go to the free throw line for a one-on-one opportunity. Ames is just 3 of 9 from the free throw line so far this season for St. John's Tipton. 33%. These are critical opportunities in the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship game. Got foul on Ritzky here, third. Free throw for Gates. Spins around and out. The rebound goes to Stauffer. Traveling, called on Mariah right after she got the rebound, though. It goes right back to St. John's Tipton on Thunder Ridge's 11th turnover to contest. Substitution into the game for Thunder Ridge. Sarah Mann checking in, as is Brennan Kirchhoff for Stopper and Ritzky. St. John's Tipton, Elizabeth Walter leading away with 13 points. She's inbounding over to Gates. Gates extended on the right wing. Back to Walter. Wide open three for Elizabeth. Count it for St. John Tipton. She has 16, and the Lady Jays are back up 9, 31-22. Thunder Ridge basketball. Lake and Pettit John left side to Brennan Kierkoff. Into the corner, now to Hardacre. Hardacre back to Kierkoff. Kierkoff skip pass right side over to Lake and Pettit John. Lakin taking a couple of dribbles back to Kierkoff from the left wing with 7:07 to play. It's a 9-point Blue Jay lead. Lakin Pettit John to Kierkoff for three from the left side. That misses. Long rebound to Gates. Gates looking to run out here for St. John Tipton. Avery had it stripped by Kierkoff. Got it back. Layup on the way and good for Avery. Avery Gates makes it an 11-point St. John Tipton lead. 33-22 with 6:47 to play. Over on the right side of the lane, Cassie Breton head fake, tries baseline, runner block, the foul called on St. John Tipton on the shot by Breton. She's headed to the free throw line for two attempts, and it's called on Walter. So number three on Elizabeth, Kara Eilert had three. We're waiting to kind of see who that was going to be on. 14 foul called on St. John Tipton in the second half. First free throw for Breton is good. She's gone one of two on two trips to the line, so she makes the first one this time. History in the game would say she'll miss this one, but we'll see if she can change history. Second one coming up for Cassie. She can't. Second one misses, and Kara Eilert gets the rebound. A foul on Sarah Mann. That's her fourth. Sarah Mann with the fourth foul. Kara Eilert will go to the free throw line for a 1-on-1 for St. John Tipton. There's one for three in the game so far for the Lady Jays from the stripe. Substitution for Thunder Ridge. It's Risky checks back in for Mann. First free throw upcoming for Kara on the front end of the 1-on-1. 33-23 St. John Tipton lead. And Kara left that one short. Rebound bounced off the hands of L. Eilert. Kara tracks it down for St. John Tipton. The Lady Jays have possession with a 10-point lead. Gates, dribble drives, free throw line, pulls it back out. It's knocked out and stolen from behind by Lake and Pettijohn. 10 turnovers now for St. John Tipton. Walter steps in front. Logan Eilert tracks it down. It's knocked out of bounds off of Kierkoff. And it's St. John Tipton basketball. So Thunder Ridge gives it right back to the Lady Jays. As St. John Tipton has it, the inbound play to Avery Gates. Over to Logan Eilert. Logan to Walter. Walter to Logan Eilert. Logan, cross half court to Walter to avoid a 10-second count. The timeout called by Keith Christine and St. John Tipton. 6:08 to play in the game. St. John Tipton 33, Thunder Ridge 23 on Katy Country 94. 6 minutes and 8 seconds to play in the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship game where the St. John Tipton Lady Blue Jays lead 33-23 over Thunder Ridge. St. John Tipton basketball out of the timeout. Walter with the inbound play to Eilert. L back to Walter. Could recover defensively, so she can't shoot the three. Gates lost it, but it ends up in the hands of Logan Eilert. Dribbled it off of her foot. Looks like it went off of Logan's foot, but I'd say it went off of Thunder Ridge, and St. John Tipton will keep the possession. This time, Walter to throw it in from the far side. Walter looking in, goes into the corner to Gates. Back to Walter on the left wing. Elizabeth back to Gates. Open long two for Avery. Bounces no good. Kara is there for the rebound. Putback bank's no good. L. Eilert the rebound. She missed the putback. Kara gets it back again. Fouled. She'll go to the free throw line for 2 of 10. So again, St. John Tipton crashing the offensive glass. And it pays off as Elizabeth Hardacre picks up her fourth foul. 10th team foul. Two free throws coming up for Kara Eilert. First one for Kara on the way, and it bounces no good. Kara's just 1 of 5 from the free throw line in the game now on the season. 11 of 25. Second free throw coming up for Kara. And that one bounces no good as well. Rebound in the short corner, goes to Breton, and a foul called on Logan Eilert. 15 foul on St. John Tipton, the first personal on Logan. 5:47 to play, 33-23 to score. As Thunder Ridge has the possession. Lake and Pettijohn across that court to the Lady Longhorns. Couple dribbles back over to the right side. It goes to Brennan Kierkoff. Lake and Pettijohn of a dribble drive, cut off by Kara Eilert. Foul was called on St. John Tipton. If it's L, it's 5. It's Kara, it's 4. It's Kara. Fourth personal foul called on Kara Eilert. The 16th foul on St. John Tipton. They deemed that Lakin was in the act of shooting, so two free throws coming up for her. Her first free throw attempts of the game, shooting 49% of the season. First one on the way for Lakin Pettijohn is good. 4 points down for Lakin. The lead's back down to 9, 33-24. St. John Tipton, Northern Plains League Tournament Girls Championship game with 5:32 to play. Second free throw for Lake and Pettijohn is good. Nothing but that. 5 points for Lake and Pettijohn. 33-25. The St. John Tipton lead is 8. Lady Jays had the ball. Logan Eilert with it across half court to Walter. Walter's double team. Dribbled off the foot of Kierkoff. Sliding across the floor is Lake and Pettijohn. A tie-up force. I think that probably should have been traveling, but they did not call that one as the ball's on the ground. And a possession goes back to Thunder Ridge, Keith Casino saying the same thing that I did. If she stays on the floor and gets the ball, that's cool, but she slid across the floor, and you can't do that with the ball in your hand. Brennan Kierkoff for three right wing, and she buries it for Thunder Ridge. Her second three-point make of the game. The lead's down to five for St. John's Tipton, 33-28. Avery Gates crosses over into the lane. Left side, Walter for the answer. No. Rebound, Kennedy Ritchie for Thunder Ridge. Quick outlet pass up the floor. The ball tipped out. Last touch by Walter. Thunder Ridge will keep the possession. Substitution, Sarah Manchek back into the game for the Lady Longhorn for Kennedy Ritchie. Big three-point make for Brennan Kierkoff. She had two makes on the season coming in. She's made two threes in this game for the Lady Longhorns. Inbound play to Lakin Pettijohn. Pettijohn into the corner for Mann. Mann takes baseline. Cut off by Kara Eilert. Missed the shot. Kara trying to get the rebound and can't. Mann gets it. Dribbles through two defenders. Missed the layup. Rebound underneath. Count the basket and a foul. Elizabeth Hardacre scores for Thunder Ridge. Hardacre has six. The lead is down to three. 33-30 with 4:40 to play the game. Foul is on Kara Eilert, her fifth. She fouls out for St. John's Tipton. That's a big blow for the Lady Jays. It's still 4:40 remaining, and Kara Eilert sitting. Kara finished 3-for-11 from the floor and 1-of-6 from the free throw line. She had 7 points for St. John's Tipton. Hardacre's free throw, no good. Rebound, Kathy Breton put back on the way and missing. And the rebound goes to Sarah Mann. So Thunder Ridge, another offensive board. Chance to get within one, and they do. Hardacre scores for Thunder Ridge. 8 points now for Hardacre. It's 33-32. St. John's tipping up one. 10-0 run right now for Thunder Ridge. Jones can't control the pass, and a steal and a foul on Megan. She hits Pettijohn. And a turnover for St. John's Tipton is their 11th. The foul is the 17th foul. Second personal on Jones. And a timeout called by Keith Christine and St. John's Tipton. 33-32. Thunder Ridge on a 10-0 run within 1 point here in the Leafs Tournament Championship. Still 4:16 to play. It's on Katie Country, 94. Thunder Ridge is on a 10-0 run right now. It's a 33-32 lead still for St. John's Tipton. 4:16 to play in the game. Megan Jones was called for a foul right before the timeout. 1-on-1 opportunity for Lakin Pettijohn to tie and possibly give Thunder Ridge the lead. Free throw on the way, and it spins out. Breton the rebound. Put back good for Thunder Ridge. Kathy Breton gives Thunder Ridge the advantage off the miss. Free throw from Lakin Pettijohn. 34-33, Lady Longhorn. It's a 12-0 run at St. John's Tipton led at 1 point, 33-22. On the drive, a foul called on Thunder Ridge. We'll send Walter back to the free throw line. St. John's Tipton is already in the double bonus. This foul on Thunder Ridge is called on Lakin Pettijohn, her second. Walter to the charity stripe for St. John's Tipton. She's 5-for-6 in the game. She leads all scorers with 16 points for St. John's Tipton. Front end for Walter is good. That ties the game back up at 34 and puts it into a 12-0 run for Thunder Ridge. So it's trying to give the Lady Jays the lead back. Al Eilert and Logan Eilert switching positions here on the free throw lane on the right side. Walter has another free throw coming up. Chance to give St. John's Tipton the lead back. Second one on the way, and it was short, but it had a soft touch and rolled in. 18 points now for Walter as the Lady Jays are back up by one, 35-34. Thunder Ridge basketball, Lakin Pettijohn to Brennan Kierkoff. Into the corner to Hardacre. Skip pass right side to Lakin. Lakin on the dribble drive baseline. Blocking foul called on L. Isla. She fouled out of the game. Lakin Pettijohn to the free throw line for two attempts for Thunder Ridge. So L fouls out with 3:49 to play. Finishing with 1 point for St. John's Tipton. Again, St. John's Tipton in lineup right now with Brent Eilert out of the game with injury. Thunder Ridge looking for their fourth consecutive Northern Plains League Tournament Championship, and St. John's Tipton was looking to win their first ever. And Brent Eilert went down early, and he knew that was going to be a tough spot to be in. Pettijohn was in the act of shooting, so she has two, and she misses the front end. She can tie it up here with the second free throw. 3:49 to play. Second one for Pettijohn. Bounces no good. And a rebounding foul called on Thunder Ridge. I believe it was on Walter. Just a whiz will be going back to the free throw line. Pettijohn is now 2-for-5 from the free throw line for Thunder Ridge. She made her first two, and she's missed three in a row now. Foul was called on Cassie Breton, her third. And again in the double bonus. Two free throws for Walter. 7-of-8 in the game. First one for Elizabeth this time. Rattles halfway down, and it popped out. Got another one coming up. Was with 7-of-9 from the free throw line for St. John's Tipton. She leads away with 18 points. Looking to extend to a 2-point lead. Second free throw for Walter is nothing but net. So 19 now for Elizabeth. It's 36-34 St. John's Tipton. No Kara Eilert, no L. Eilert, no Brenna Eilert for St. John's Tipton. First two are fouled out. Brenna's injured. Lincoln Pettijohn has it right wing beside to Rich now as they trail by two. Kirchhoff back to Pettijohn. Pettijohn lob pass inside to Brett. Cassie turns and misses the layup. Rebound. Hardacre back and in. First time in her career that she's scored double figures. 10 points for Elizabeth Hardacre, and it's a 36-36 tie. Career high for Hardacre here in the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship game. Gates gets to Walter. Walter pressured by Kirchhoff. Crossover dribble, drives the lane, kicks it back to Gates. Gates for three. No good. Rebound knocked out by Logan Island for St. John's Tipton. Lady James basketball. Gates has it right side to Jones. Jones back to Gates, extending with 3 minutes to play in a 36-36 tie. Gates hands it off to Walter. Walter the crossover dribble, drives into the lane, to the hoop, running layup, no good, but a foul on Thunder Ridge. And Sarah Mann becomes the first casualty for the Liddy Longhorns as she picks up her fifth foul. Mann finishes with 6 points, 2 of 11 from the floor and 2 of 5 at the free throw line. And Walter headed back to the free throw line for the Liddy Jays. Substitution is Kennedy Ritzke for Thunder Ridge. As Coach Groundhold has some time, and he talks to Kennedy and brings her in. Mann will check out the fifth personal foul. 2:52 to play in the game and a 36-36 tie. Elizabeth Walter has two free throws coming up for the Liddy Jays. First one on the way. That one bounces no good off to the right. It's now 8 of 11 from the line of the game for St. John's Tipton. Second one coming up for Elizabeth. And that one rattles halfway down, and that popped out. Rebound goes to Cassie Breton. So usually reliable at the stripe this year coming into the game, shooting 87%. Walter's now 8 of 12. 36-36 tie with 2:43 to play. Brennan Kirchhoff, another open three. Bounces high and no good. Gates gets the rebound for St. John's Tipton. She's pushing up the floor to Brummer. Brummer, open layup, no good. Rebound is loose. The tie-up, and St. John's Tipton will get the possession. Wait, a foul was called on St. John's Tipton. That's a tough call on the Liddy Jays. Tough one on St. John's Tipton on Logan Eilert, her second. It's like a clear tie-up to me with Logan and Ritzke, but Kennedy's going to the free throw line for two free throws. First one on the lane is too strong. Kennedy is 2 of 10 now from the stripe on the season for Thunder Ridge. Takes a deep breath, has another one coming up. 36-36 tie with 2:31 to play in our Northern Plains League Tournament Championship game. Ritzke knocks down the second one to give Thunder Ridge a one-point lead. 37-36, Liddy Longhorn. Gates across half court to Walter. Elizabeth, dribble drive, running layup, missed. Rebound, Thunder Ridge and Lincoln Pettijohn. Walter wanted the contact. It wasn't called that time as Lincoln Pettijohn brings it across half court. A one-point lead for Thunder Ridge. Cassie Breton on the left wing, back over to Lincoln Pettijohn. Pettijohn back out top to Breton. Breton over to Pettijohn on the right side with 2:04 to play, 37-36 lead. Kirchhoff, baseline runner, good for Thunder Ridge. Brennan Kirchhoff has 8, and that's a new career high for her, the freshman. 39-36, Thunder Ridge with a 3-point lead. Gates across half court for St. John's Tipton. Drives, kicks into the corner, an open long two for Brummer. Halfway down and out, rebound risky for Thunder Ridge. 3-point lead for the Liddy Longhorns, 1:42 to play. St. John's Tipton led at 1 point, 33-22, since then it's a 17-3 run for Thunder Ridge, and a timeout called by Darren Grauer, holding the Longhorns. 1:35 to play in the game, 39-36, Thunder Ridge on Katie Kester, 94. And we'll welcome you back to the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship game on Katie Kester, 94. Thunder Ridge leading 39-36. St. John's Tipton was really in control of this game for the most part all the way through to start the fourth quarter even. It was a 33-22 lead for the Liddy Jays early in the fourth. Thunder Ridge since then has gone on a 17-3 run, and they lead by 3, 39-36. Inbound play goes to Lincoln Pettijohn, and Thunder Ridge will take some time here. Here's Kirchhoff. Ritchie back to Lincoln Pettijohn, back to Kirchhoff. Back over the right side, Lincoln Pettijohn to Kirchhoff. Kirchhoff out top. Back over to Lincoln Pettijohn. Pressure comes from Gates on Lincoln. Avery's trying to knock it out of there. Hardacre has it out top. Now over to Brennan Kirchhoff. Keith Christina selling a foul. Cassie Breton has it. The ball is knocked loose. And then a foul called on St. John's Tipton. Cassie will go to the free throw line for 2 of 10. Foul was called on St. John's Tipton to Elizabeth Walter, her fourth. They've already lost L. Eilert and Kara Eilert to foul. Again, Brenna's out with an injury for St. John's Tipton. Here's Cassie Breton at the line to extend on the lead. First free throw rolls right. No good. Still a one-possession game and a timeout called by Keith Christina and St. John's Tipton. 1:05 to play in the contest. 39-36. Thunder is leading it by three. 39-36. Thunder is the lead. Kathy Breton has one more free throw coming up, looking to extend on this lead for Lady Longhorn. They're looking for their fourth consecutive Northern Plains League Tournament Championship. And they're just 105 away from doing that, winning 39-36. And Breton at the free throw line for Thunder Ridge. Elizabeth Walter's been doing her best to try to keep St. John's Tipton in. She has 18 points. Elizabeth Hardacre is leading Thunder Ridge with 10. Second free throw coming up for Breton. She has 7. This one's good. Nothing but net for Cassie. She's 50% through the entire game from the free throw line. 40-36, Thunder Ridge. St. John's Tipton basketball. Gates has a pass tipped across half court. Emily Eilert has it to Walter. Now back out to Gates. Gates over to Eric Brummer left side. She takes one dribble, bounce pass to the lazy one, knocked out of bounds by Kirchhoff on the far sideline, and St. John's Tipton keeps the possession with 50 seconds remaining. Walter with the inbound play from the far side for the Lady Jays. Walter in for Gates. Gates back to Walter. Hesitation. Liz into the corner for Emily Eilert. Long two on the way for Emily. Nothing but net for St. John's Tipton. Another big shot for the freshman. In her short career, she has a career high. Now a double dribble by Lincoln Pettijohn on the inbound. 40-38, St. John Tipton has it back on a Thunder Ridge turnover. They're 13th of the game, and the inbound play coming for Walter. Timeout first for Darren Ground, Holston Thunder Ridge. 37.5 seconds to play. It's Thunder Ridge 40, St. John Tipton 38. We're back after the timeout on Kitty Country 94 and online, kittycountry94.com. St. John Tipton has the ball back after a double dribble by Thunder Ridge. Lincoln Pettijohn on the inbound, and 40-38 lead for Thunder Ridge with 37.5 seconds to play in the contest. We told you about the two that fouled out, Kara Eilert and L. Eilert for St. John's Tipton. Sarah Mann also fouled out for Thunder Ridge earlier in this game. That was probably with about 3 minutes left in the fourth. Inbound play coming for Logan Eilert for St. John's Tipton. They're guarding Walter pretty heavily. Logan gets it into Gates. Gates back to Logan. Logan with a couple dribbles. Pressure comes. Logan into the corner for Brummer, now to Gates. Gates to Walter. Walter for three for the lead. Good for St. John Tipton. Elizabeth Walter knocks down the triple. It's 41-40 Blue Jays. Kathy Breton has it for the Lady Longhorns. Over to the far side to Kirchhoff. Skip pass. Hardacre underneath. And the layup rolls in with 14 seconds. 12 now for Hardacre. Here comes Walter. A one-point lead for Thunder Ridge. 42-41. Walter has it on the wing. Pressure comes from Kirchhoff. 5 seconds. Walter fouled by Pettijohn. Prince will go to the free throw line with a chance to win it. Three fouls now for Lincoln Pettijohn. 2.9 on the clock, 42-41 the score. Walter hits the three. Hardacre with a career-high 12 hits the shot at the baseline. Pettijohn called for the foul. It was into pain, like had her head hit there. Walter has a chance here at the line with two shots. 21 points for Elizabeth. First free throw for Walter is rattling out. He has one more coming up. So a chance to tie it now for Elizabeth Walter. A couple words of encouragement from Avery Gates. This is to tie it for St. John Tipton. The second one for Liz, good. So Walter now with 22. 2.9 on the clock. Breton on the inbound. And he's just kind of thinking, apparently Thunder Ridge wanted to play overtime. 42-42, the score. We're headed to the overtime period. Thunder Ridge outscores St. John Tipton 20-14 in the fourth quarter, and we're headed to OT. 42-42 in our Northern Plains League Tournament Girls Championships on Katy Country 94. Well, we're headed to overtime here on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. One of these teams is going to pick up a pretty big championship. If Thunder Ridge can win, it'll be their fourth consecutive Northern Plains League Tournament Championship. If St. John Tipton wraps it up, it'll be their first ever NPL Tournament Championship. Walter and Hardacre share a handshake, which is interesting because they're the two leading scorers, and they both scored career highs today. Walter with 23 and Hardacre with 12. The toss is up and won by Thunder Ridge as Cassie Breton has it. Elizabeth will have to be careful. She has four fouls heading into overtime. Kara Eilert and Elle Eilert have already fouled out for St. John Tipton. Sarah Mann is out for Thunder Ridge. Hardacre has four fouls as well. Both leading scorers are in foul trouble for each team. Pettijohn on the baseline. What do we have? A three-second violation on Thunder Ridge. 14 sent over the game for the Longhorns. Each team is awarded an extra full timeout here in overtime, which means both teams have three timeouts here to use in the overtime frames. It's an extension of regulation, and then they add the timeout. St. John's Tipton basketball. Walter to Logan Island across half court to Walter. Walter over to the right side to Avery Gates. Gates back to Walter. Walter over to the left side to Logan Island. Logan picks up the dribble back to Gates on the right side. Now to Walter out top. 3:25 to play in the game. Walter dribble drives, lost it. It's on the deck, but Brummer comes out of there with it for St. John Tipton. Walter back out to Gates. Gates, Walter into the corner. Logan, nice head fake on Hardacre. Banking layoff, good. Logan Eiler steps up big for St. John's. Tipped into the Lady James lead by two, 44-42. Nice head fake on Hardacre to get her in the air, which is interesting because Elizabeth probably doesn't need to be jumping on Logan Eiler's shot at him. Inside look, Ritchie over the head of Hardacre. It's out of bounds and back to St. John's. Tipped it. Thunder Ridge has turned it over a couple times already here in the overtime period. Bloody Jays have the possession. Logan Eiler up for Elizabeth Walter. Bloody Jays have it. Walter to the hoop. Playoff good. 25 for Liz. 4-point lead for St. John's. Tipton, 46-42. Thunder Ridge basketball. Kirchhoff to Lane Pentagon. Skip pass in the corner to Hardacre. Hardacre has it. Her skip pass goes over the head of Pentagon and out of bounds. Another Thunder Ridge turnover, and they take the timeout. 46-42, 2:24 to play, and we're back on Katie Petrie, 94. St. John's Tipton leading 46-42 in overtime. They get it across to Elizabeth Walter, who dribble drives, kicks into the corner. Brummer for a long two. That missed everything. Lake and Pettage on the rebound, and a foul called on Emily Eiler. Kind of a quick trigger that time from Erica Brummer. That's a huge shot if it goes, but it's probably not the shot you want with a 4-point lead with 2:15 to play in overtime. Thunder Ridge basketball, free throw opportunity coming up for Lake and Pettijohn. Pettijohn in the game is 2 for 5. She made her first two. She's missed her last three. See what happens on this opportunity. It's Letty Longhorn. Both teams are in the double bonus. Pettijohn gets the ball on the first one. She has 6 points, now 3 of 6 from the free throw line to Thunder Ridge. 46-43. St. John's sitting with the lead. Risky checks out. Stoffer back in for Thunder Ridge. Second free throw for Pettijohn. Rolls in. Cuts it back down to a two-point game at 46-44. St. John Tipton basketball. Gates has it for the Bloody Jays over to Logan Eiler. Logan in a tough spot. Gets it back to Walter. Walter drops half court. Stepping in to force the tie-up with Brennan Kirchhoff. Not what you want there, but luckily for St. John Tipton, if you're one of their fans, you have the arrow. Smart, heady play, though, by Brennan Kirchhoff. Walter has on the wing. Takes the dribble, gets the screen from Logan Eiler. Walter lost the dribble, and that's a travel because she lost it with the pivot foot. 12 turnovers now for St. John Tipton as the ball goes back to Thunder Ridge. A 46-44 lead to the Bloody Jays with 1:57 to play. Across the timeline, Lake and Pettijohn for Thunder Ridge. Now to Kirchhoff on the left side. Kirchhoff back to Pettijohn. Lake and back to Kirchhoff. Kirchhoff on the dribble drive to the hoop. The running layup, good. And Brennan Kirchhoff ties the game. She did the double figures with 10. It's 46-46. St. John's Tipton basketball. Logan Eiler traveled with it. He wanted to pass the gate, but a recovery on defense by Lakin Pettijohn made her think twice. She slid the pivot foot. 12 or 13 turnovers now for St. John's Tipton. The Thunder Ridge has it tied back up at 46. Kirchhoff on the left side. Skip pass over to Brenton. Now back to Lakin Pettijohn. Kirchhoff left wing with a minute 24 to play. Brennan, a couple of dribbles on the left wing. They leave her for three. It bounces high and no good. The rebound pulled down by Brummer for St. John's Tipton. A tie-up, though, by Brenton. And Thunder Ridge will keep the possession. Bloody Longhorn basketball. Brenton to throw it in. Early thrown basket. Hardacre out to Kirchhoff. Kirchhoff looking in for Brenton. All reading the pass with Walter to step in for the steal. Elizabeth coming up the floor for the Lady Jays. Contact made, nothing called. A steal for Kirchhoff to the hoop. Layup good. Kirchhoff has 12, and Thunder Ridge leads by two. 48-46, 56 seconds to play. Here's Walter. Kirchhoff is down hurt right now. On the baseline, Walter misses a scoop layup. Rebound goes to Gates. Gates over to Brummer. Baseline, Walter up with a shot and a foul called on Thunder Ridge. I believe it's Hardacre, and if it is, that's her fifth. Kirchhoff slow to get up. Finally got back onto the defensive side. And Walter to the free throw line again for St. John's Tipton in a critical spot. Foul was called on Hardacre. She fouls out with a career-high 12 points from Hardacre. She fouls out at 45.2 here in overtime. Hardacre out. Ritchie checks back in for Thunder Ridge. 45.2 in the clock. Walter at the free throw line. First one for Elizabeth is spinning out. She had a real good start from the line. The three quarters is 5 of 6. She's now 9 of 15. This one can cut it to a 1-point Thunder Ridge lead. Second one for Walter on the way, and it's good. She hits 1 of 2. 26 points for Walter at the career high. 48-47, Thunder Ridge. Longhorn basketball, Pettijohn up the floor. Gates steps in front, steals it. He falls to the deck, though, and it's a turnover. St. John Tipton fans want a foul. That was not a foul. The Thunderous player has the right to that basketball, too, and Avery Gates put herself in that position. Inbound play to Ritchie. Kind of a great team there. Thunderous basketball, the one-point lead, 33 seconds to play. Kirchhoff out top. Pressure comes from Logan Eilert. Ball's knocked away by Gates, and a steal for Logan. Kirchhoff called for a foul. Logan Eilert will go to the free throw line. So Brennan called for her third personal foul. Good job of the pressure defense. Now Logan has struggled from the free throw line. 0-for-2 in the game and just 1-of-9 on the season. Talk about a clutch situation that Logan could be in here. First one is good for Logan Eilert. It ties it at 48. Logan doesn't dribble when she gets the ball here. Now she has her second one coming up for the lead. Spinning out. Rebound Cassie Breton. So Logan hits 1-of-2. Thunder Ridge basketball with 23 seconds to play in overtime. Possibly heading to overtime number 2. Left side, Pettijohn into the corner for Breton. Cassie back to Pettijohn with 14 seconds left. Over to Kirchhoff. Kirchhoff on the dribble. Free throw line. You don't want to foul if you're St. John's Tipton. Pettijohn drives. Cut off by Walter. Running layup, no good. Breton the rebound and the putback. 2 seconds to play. St. John's Tipton, they didn't call a timeout. I'm not sure why. As Thunder Ridge wins. Cassie Breton gets the game winner with 3 seconds left, and Thunder Ridge wins it 50-48 in overtime. The Lady Longhorns, for the fourth consecutive year, are the Northern Plains League tournament champions as they went 50-48 in overtime over St. John Tipton.
And Thunder Ridge had won 4 straight Northern Plains League tournament championships at that point this past season. They extended that streak out to 7 straight years, winning the NPL tournament championship there in Lincoln. Back in 2016-17, the Lady Longhorns finished that season with a record of 17-6. They would go on to beat St. John's Tipton in the semifinals of the 1A Division I Substate that year, but fell to Stockton in the championship game in 2017 of the Substate there in Osborne. If you'd like an audio copy of this complete game or any other games that we have in our archives, you can always give us a call at the station at 545-3220. We'll give you all the details on how you can purchase a copy of our games. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of Comeback Rally Week on the Sports Ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.